Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 17th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin Wett.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, listener.
Hello.
All's well in the world again, isn't it?
Yeah, you put the chiller on, haven't you?
Yeah.
I just felt a blast of cold air up my trouser leg.
Well, I've got my special...
Just because you've turned up in a Hawaiian shirt, you've got to see this, listener. This is business attire.
This is radio, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. He is so cool. he flounced in here. He flounced in here, listener, in a Hawaiian top with his pastel-coloured V-neck draped around his shoulders, showing everybody pictures of super yachts in Monaco.
Matches yeah. Leon's we'll tie, though, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Got an outfit here somewhere.
Did he get planning permission to wear that shirt?
I know, yeah. You need landing lights and stuff with that, don't you?
Our guests are joining in, so we need to introduce them.
Well, I'll tell you what then, Martin, why don't you introduce them?
We've got Leon Price from Invicta Insurance Services.
Hello.
Welcome, Leon.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We've got Barry Bond from Jarman Solicitors.
Hi, Martin.
Hi,
really good to be here.
Nice to see you. And, of course, we've got Dave DeCaro from Toastmaster Dave.
Absolutely.
And good afternoon, everyone.
Cool. So,
Dave,
lovely to see you, gentlemen.
We turned the aircon on, because I'm sitting here in a Hawaii
short sleeve shirt. Yeah.
Dave's sitting
I left
my
vest off.
In his Toastmaster
it's spring.
Outfit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah let's have a bit of consideration.
Yeah.
Let's leave the air conditioning on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Leave it on for a lovely.
Cool. Anyway, we've got a packed show today. I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at Oasis. That's Operational Accounting Systems.
Bruce, who was on.
That's Bruce Kidd and the team at Oasis. Yeah, Jenna and all the team at Oasis. You can follow them on their Twitter at @O_A_SYS, Oasis. Do check them out. And Operational Accounting Systems.
As opposed to the drink that you used to be able to buy. Do you remember that? Oasis.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Open paw, be yourself once more. I don't know why they chose a Scouser to do it, but they did.
Was that Scouse?
I think it was.
Oh, I thought that was South African you were doing. Sorry,
you
yeah.
You haven't travelled much, have you, outside of Kent?
Yeah.
You haven't been anywhere.
No, I haven't. No, I'm from South London, mate. I mean, in it, eh? Oh, dear. No, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, Oasis, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sponsoring us today.
That's the operational accounting software company.
Yeah, and they have a piece of software that they're delivering at the moment called Enact, which is absolutely stunning. It's cloud-based, and it's primarily accounting software, but it does so much more. You can basically run your entire business off it. Really, really superb product.
Well, while we're on the subject of software, I mean, Leon and I were talking about how our unfortunate mishap with our computers. This
Microsoft
week.
Strike again.
Shall we invite anybody that's downloaded or actually probably unaware to them has had downloaded the Microsoft Security Essentials package in the last sort of 10 days or so, and then suffered a catastrophic failure with their PC in terms of being able to access anything useful on it. If you'd like to tweet #BBunker, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm. We have had 1,933,763,000,000 tweets so far, because I have counted them, and we will read some of them, but do feel free to tweet in. We'd love to hear from you, your businesses out there. You can get in touch with us, actually, in a number of ways. You could, in fact, call me on 01233-220035. That's Ashford, 01233-220035. Or you could email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the #BeBunker. And we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to start off with a tweet straight away from the lovely folks at Dragon Co-working. And they're telling me about Waffle 3. And Waffle 3 is the best non-networking networking event ever, apparently. And it's coming on April the 19th. I think there's a spare M in there, but never mind. April the 19th. And it's sponsored by ZC Social Media. And you can find out all about it on Eventbrite. But the easiest way to do that is to follow the lovely folks at Dragon Co-working on the Twitter. And that's Waffle 3, the best non-networking networking, taking place at Dragon Co-working on April the 19th.
On 19th?
Yeah. Well, it says it's got 19th THM. Mm. So I'm just trying to...
What they've done is they've created a new month.
Yeah,
to make up for the month that we lost in March.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. We've had a tweet from the absolutely wonderful Denise Wilton, who's actually busy doing some castings today in London for her growing acting career.
I see. I thought you meant she was making some wheel bearings or something.
No, she's not. She's definitely not the kind of person to do that. But yeah, very
not
quick.
That kind of casting.
No. Okay. Denise, as everybody probably knows by now, is a dementia champion, and she's running a Dementia Friends event on the 8th of May, again at the St George Hotel. It seems everything that happens in Medway happens at the St George Hotel. Well,
and so it should. It's a fantastic location for everything. And Roland Stanley, who's the owner there, has done a massively marvellous job of getting involved in the community and you know, helping businesses. So all power to him.
So it's on the 8th of May. It's a Dementia Friends session. It's at the St George Hotel, 3 to 5pm, and it includes free tea and cake.
Cake!
Ooh, I love a bit of cake. And it's sponsored by our good friend Lisa Settle at Telcare.
Fantastic.
50 spaces. It's open to anybody. You do actually have to register, obviously. And on top of everything else, I believe the mayor and mayoress of Medway are also going to be there on the day as well. So it's a good opportunity to meet them as well. So Tuesday, the 8th of May, 3 to 5pm, dementiafriends.org.uk is the website. But I guess you can tweet Denise directly at Denise Wilton if you'd like to go along, and I'm sure she'd be happy.
That's Denise, D-E-N-E-E-Z.
That's it. Wilton. I'm sure she'd be happy to book you on.
Yeah, they're fantastic, those work. Have you done one of them?
I haven't yet. No.
You ought to. They're really interesting. Really interesting workshops. I've done one in Hildenborough.
I tell you what I have done, though, recently. Eaten some cake.
You ate some pudding yesterday, I know that.
I know, I overdid it yesterday.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, Barry, you'll identify with this. You're a keen walker.
I am, yes.
I was at the South Foreland Lighthouse, you know, White Cliffs Walk.
I do indeed.
And I had a lovely cup of tea there. I can't remember the name of the tea room there.
No, me neither, I'm afraid.
But you've been there. And
a couple of candidates for Denise's workshop, I think.
You had cake, Martin.
Yeah, so if you like your cake and you like a walk and a cup of tea to go with it, I would thoroughly recommend that. It's actually a National Trust property, effectively, that whole White Cliffs experience. Mm. But it is absolutely fabulous in the springtime. So.
That was a great advert for a tea room that you don't know the name of.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That was useful.
I'll come back to that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Google it.
Well, you can't miss it. It's the South Foreland Lighthouse. It's a big lighthouse on the cliff near St Margaret's.
Is it lit up at night?
I think that was generally the whole idea behind lighthouses.
Okay, I like it. I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Does it go on and off a lot?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, good.
The one on the beach is even better. Down on the beach, they make a fabulous cup of coffee there as well.
Oh, the little cafe.
Yeah, and if you want breakfast there and a bun, it's true.
The only problem is you have to pay for car parking down there, don't you?
And he's such a tightwad.
Well, I've never paid for car parking down there.
Okay. Anyway, lovely area.
Cool. I want to tell you, funnily enough, mentioning the Mayor and Mayoress in Medway, in Fruitworks in Canterbury, we had the Lord Mayor of Canterbury there last week, meeting the winners of the Canterbury Business Awards, and I did some interviews there, and we're going to be playing those interviews with the winners of the Canterbury Business Awards next week on the show. But we're on the road. The Business Bunker's going on the road on Friday the 27th of April. We've got our outside broadcast team, and we're going to be joining the Seven Oaks Business Show. As Seven Oaks Town Partnership invite you and us to the Seven Oaks Business Show 2018, taking place on Friday the 27th of April, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Stag Plaza, and that's in the London Road, Seven Oaks. There's a car park right behind it, so it's nice and easy. There's business networking, presentations and exhibits, and free entry. If you'd actually like to know more about it, you can email them at admin.tp@sevenoakstown.gov.uk, or you can call them on Seven Oaks 01732 459 953. That's Seven Oaks 01732 459 953. But you can just turn up. You don't have to book or anything. It's totally free to go in. It's a lovely little event. I've been to every one that they've staged over the last 3 or 4 years, and they've all been absolutely brilliant, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Leon, are you Invicta Insurance going to that? Are you exhibiting at that?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, we are.
Good.
So we'll be there.
Good. Yeah. Oh, well. It's good. Did you go to it last year, Leon?
We didn't last year, but the year before.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's only a little event because it's obviously just Sevenoaks, which isn't a particularly huge place, but it's a great event. I absolutely love it, and I go there every year, and I take my outside broadcast team, and we do loads of interviews, and it's really good fun.
What date is that again?
Sorry?
What date was that again?
It is on the 27th of April.
Is that April thin?
Pardon?
April thin.
April thin, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
April thin.
I was at university in Leeds in 1980.
Are you just showing off or what?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
What, name dropping with Leeds?
Yeah, yeah,
back in the 80s.
I went to Leeds. Thank you for that, Martin. Anyway.
What a place to name drop. And
did you live in Hyde Park while you were there?
Just behind the Hyde Park pub, yeah, Regent's Park Terrace.
I'm just checking.
And they actually had the big storm while I was up there. Was it in October or November?
October.
And Sevenoaks became, I had a guy living in our house from Sevenoaks. I think Sevenoaks became One Oak, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it back to its full complement now? Exactly.
Actually, it's got eight oaks now.
Yeah.
Eight oaks?
Eight, yeah. They partly the next one. I'm serious. There's actually eight oaks in Sevenoaks, yeah.
Are they going to rename the town Eight Oaks?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Good.
No, they've just increased the council tax.
Yeah, because you've got an extra tree, obviously.
And the parking, obviously. The parking to pay for it, yeah.
Listen, I've got an opportunity for you and Mrs. Debs.
Okay. You're going to put me on the spot now, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm. I've had a letter.
I adopted a giraffe. I don't need another giraffe.
No. They sent me a letter. Hat Trick Productions.
Right.
Yeah. The TV production company.
I've heard of them.
And they, Paul, I'm writing to you from Hat Trick Productions, an award-winning television production company, the makers of Dinner Date, Have I Got News For You, and Outnumbered. We're looking for families, specifically Martin and Deb, to take part, I might be paraphrasing here, to take part in a heartwarming and thought-provoking series where you get to see how the other half live.
Oh, right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. In the documentary, you will swap homes, budgets, and lifestyle for a week in a real-life Airbnb arrangement. See, so you can let your yacht out to someone, and you can go and live in their hovel in Leeds, in Hyde Park. Back to your roots. The ambition of the programme is to look at how much money matters to happiness through the eyes of two families, each experiencing life at the other end of the wealth divide. Mm. No matter how different their financial circumstances are, the two families in each programme have shared values and common ground that they discover across the weeks. We're eager to hear from families from all types of financial backgrounds, so please don't hesitate to get in touch with me if you're interested in taking part in the show. And that's from the lovely Louise Topless, and you can get hold of Louise by emailing her at louiset@hattrick.com.
Did I hear that right? Louise Topless.
Topless, T-O-P-L-I-S, Topless.
Topless.
Yeah, don't get excited.
I was interested in that for a moment then, but anyway, moving on.
It's not that kind of swap, Martin.
Moving on. We were with Terry Botty, Terry Botfield, weren't we? Downstairs
we were.
Earlier, a few
we
minutes
were.
Ago.
Yeah.
And Terry and Dave, sitting next to me, are actually running a Take Control of Your Business workshop.
Are they?
Yeah. 10 a.m. on the 19th of April.
April.
Now, the 19th, is that this Thursday, Dave?
That is indeed, yes.
This Thursday. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about it, as you're here?
Well, it's down in Romney Marsh, and what we're doing, Terry and I we're going to be jointly presenting a short workshop. It's only 2 hours, 2.5 hours long, only for 10 people. And what we're going to do, the title gives it away, Take Control of Your Business, Be Control of Where Your Business Is Going and What It Delivers For You. We'll have it in two halves. I'm going to be doing the first half and talking about how to develop and set.
It's a game of two halves, is it?
It's a game of two halves, yeah. Okay. Good-looking one first and then Terry's after me. Setting goals, business goals, understanding motivation, committing, setting a future direction, and then Terry's coming in the second half and saying, that's all okay, so now how do we do it? How do we plan? What are the key activities? Create an action plan. So it's very short, very sharp, but we're looking for engagement from our audience. So that's why we've got just the 10 places, and there are probably two or three left, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, that's what Terry said. So the best way to book on, Terry is on the Twitter, at TDBotty. But maybe email him as well?
Yeah, I've got an email address. Yeah, Terry's doing the admin side of this. So it's terry@botfield, botfield.net. Or you can phone him on 07749-159-263.
So it's this Thursday, 10 a.m., 19th of April, down in New Romney. And I think it's £20, including refreshments, isn't it?
Yeah, £20, including refreshments. Bring your own gin and tonics.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dave. Fantastic.
Right. Are you ready for this?
We've got another one.
I've got an email that I'm going to read out here. Uh-huh. Okay. And it's about a classical musical festival in France.
Oh.
So you're going to get the South London pronunciation of all these French places I'm just about to talk to you about. And the absolutely gorgeous Celine Gray sent me this. It's the 13th year of running the Festival Musica Nigella. And the Festival Musical Nigella is an annual international classical musical festival that takes place on the Côte d'Opale. So that's, you know, the part of Calais and all along the North French coast. This year, the festival returns for its 13th edition from the 24th of May to the 3rd of June with the theme, The French Touch. As they do each year, Olivier Carew, the festival's president and a passionate supporter of classical music, and its artistic director, Takanori Nemoto, that French, well-known French person, yeah, have invited a group of internationally renowned artists to perform at the festival. For 2018, Takanori Nemoto, composer, conductor and horn player, in collaboration with the other performing artists, has created an eclectic and innovative program that resonates with the current popular theme. The wide variety of concerts will feature new musical arrangements by Takanori Nemoto, bringing new life to well-known works, and the festival's creative approach and outstanding musical performances promise exceptional moments of pleasure for the music lover. The Festival Musica Nigella is a voyage into the world of classical music, but also an opportunity to discover the cultural heritage and rich geodiversity of the local area. So there's a number of performances taking place over a period of time in different locations around the area. Each performance takes place in a carefully chosen location, creating a familiar, informal atmosphere and a sense of accessibility for a genre which is far too often considered elitist. Whether in a museum, a theatre, a historical monument or a church, in an unconventional location such as a restaurant, a private garden or the bank of a river, their music will combine with nature, art, history and gastronomy to fully embrace all the senses. Home of the festival is the small picturesque village of Tignes-Noyelle. Tignes-Noyelle lies between the Bay de Somme, famous for its ornithological park at La Macquarie and the charming medieval town of Montreuil-sur-Mer, gateway to the rolling green hillside of the Seven Valley. In 2016, Montreuil-sur-Mer came second in the competition to find what the French considered as their favourite village. Le Touquet-Paris-Plage and Bourg-sur-Mer, seaside resort towns famous for their extensive white sand beaches, are also close at hand. So there's a whole series of classical concerts taking place on the North French coast, easily accessible for here if you want to pop across for the day or spend a couple of days there. You can find out all about it by going to the festival's website, which is www.musicangella.fr. Musicangella.fr. So do check that out. It's going to be fabulous.
Sounds wonderful.
Mm.
Have you been, Barry?
Yeah, I haven't been to the festival. I missed it by about a week, three or four years ago. But the Sept Vallée is a beautiful area.
Mm-hmm.
Not many villages there, but the food is wonderful, as one might expect. Mm. The flat whites are average, because French don't do flat whites.
No.
But
you have to ask for that.
Cafe culture and peace and solitude, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
Sept Vallée, go there, 100 miles.
It's a very civilised place to be, France, isn't it? It's so rural, so much of it.
Absolutely, and it's easy to get there, and you know, you can pop across in the car, you can.
I can see it from Mrs. Knott's tea room.
Can you?
On Sunday. I tell you what that is.
That's at the, what's his name?
South Fallen Lighthouse.
That's what I said, the Fallen Lighthouse.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a plethora, a deluge, a barrage of tweets.
Haven't we?
We've actually got three listeners today.
Okay.
We've had CBS for Kent, who I think is actually Stephen Connor. He must be tuned in. Down in Deal there. Hi, Stephen. The tea room at South Fallen Lighthouse is called Mrs. Knott's Tea Room. It is indeed. Mark Goldfinch has been on.
Mm.
Mark obviously knows the area very well because he's mentioned Mrs. Knott's. And then he said, oh, or was it the Coast Guard at the Bay, which is actually the pub at the bottom, Barry, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and we've also had the lovely Amanda Flanders, who's been talking about her networkers networking, the next one at Port Lim on the 17th of May. Wait for it.
Hold on. No. I've just got that to read out.
I'm doing it for you.
No, but you're going to read out something else.
No, I'm not.
I bet you are.
No.
Yeah, you are.
And she's added a new
event. She's added something to this.
She's added a new event.
I know, but we need to do this first, so it's in sequence.
Which is wonderful, actually.
But I'm going to do this, and then you can do the added bit. See
right.
how it works?
You carry on.
Handbags and six paces.
See how it works, right? The Networkers Networking event is a full-day event that's all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections. Set in the stunning location of Port Lim Hotel, taking place on Thursday the 17th of May between 9.30 and 3.30. The theme for the event is digital, how to network online as well as networking offline. There are three great speakers and some of the best networking masterminding groups in Kent and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. The speakers are Ali Hollands. Ali is an award-winning clinical hypnotherapist and successful businesswoman with a passion for facilitating success in business and life founder Molly Wright, who's the founder of Molly Moodle Media. Molly Wright has worked in marketing for 7 years, and she'll be sharing with us the power of online networking. And then we're also going to hear from Amy McManus, who's the founder of AM Marketing. Amy is a retail strategy and branding specialist, and she'll be sharing the power of digital networking. Who's it for? Business owners who are serial networkers, networkers looking to make the next step, people who've just started out in networking, or people that are networking already but are frustrated with what they're finding so far. There's an early bird booking. If you book before the 18th of April, you only pay £18 to attend the event with refreshment, or £20 if you want lunch included. If you book after the 18th of April, it's £27 to book with refreshments and £30 to book with lunch. Butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE to book. However, there's an addition.
I've forgotten that.
Oh, well, I know it. Would
you
like me to
read
it
out then?
No, go on, read it out. Stop. He's dumbing out now, isn't he? He's sulking now, isn't he?
I'm on to something else.
Come on, read it out.
There's a safari experience.
Yeah.
So they've got these wonderful trucks. If you ever go to Africa on safari, on a budget safari, that is, they'll stick you in a big old Bedford Army truck, about 20 of you, all smelly and sweaty, and they'll drive you around the bush. And that's what they're going to do at Port Lim on the 17th of May as part of the Networkers Networking.
So at the end of the Networkers Networking, you can pay an extra £10 and have a private safari around the park. And as Martin says, it's a Bedford ex-army truck. They take you around the whole park. You can see the rhinos, the hippos, the giraffes.
It's a wonderful truck.
Yeah.
It's air-conditioned, totally air-conditioned, which means everything blowing in from every part of the world
is
going through there. So can I make a recommendation to you based on experience?
Yeah.
Listener, if you're going, take a jacket or a wrap. Because
or a jumper, or wear your vest.
Or a SARS mask.
Or
to,
get
to
somebody
blank
putting their arm around you because it can get pretty drafty on the truck.
Yeah. So if you want to do, what you need to do is you need to book on the Networkers Networking event, and then on the day you can choose to pay your extra £10 to go on the safari. So
other safari trips are available.
Are they?
Yeah.
Where?
At Port Lim.
Are they?
It's not just that one. You can do all sorts of stuff there.
Yeah, you can, but this is a private one.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Natalie Beneig, does she still have her own show? She doesn't.
Not at the moment.
I'm sure that'll be coming back. But she does run a very successful organisation called Kent Creative Arts.
She does indeed.
So if you are a business involved in the arts in any way, shape or form, I don't know, you might be somebody that paints, you might be somebody that does mosaics or sculpture.
Or casting,
for example. Casting what exactly?
Huh?
Casting what, bronzes?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like
that. It's artistic, Martin.
Yeah. Or, actually, you might be somebody that's involved in producing marketing materials. You could be a graphic designer.
Or you could be an accountant. That could be creative.
Yeah, sometimes. Not really sure that's what this is targeted at.
Oh, okay.
This is a one-day marketing event to help businesses involved in the creative sector to actually think a little bit more about how they're going to market their business, because it's wonderful being able to express yourself and have a talent for being able to do that. But ultimately, I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of people involved in arts and culture as a business probably struggle to make money or as much money as they deserve to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that they could make. So this is a one-day marketing event. It's on the 20th of April. It's sold out in December. It's at the same venue. It's at the Alexander Centre in Faversham. We're going to have a number of speakers on the day. Denise, who we've mentioned earlier today from the Mile and Focus, is going to be talking all about marketing strategy. We've got the editor from Southeast Business Magazine talking about how to write press releases. We've got Mark Goldfinch, who's just been on the Twitter telling us about the tea rooms in Dover. Mm-hmm. Going to be talking about personal and professional communications. Sean Murphy, who hosts another
show on his very channel. Yeah.
Going to be talking about websites and design. So there's all sorts of pointers and useful workshops on the day to help you make more of your business on a commercial level. If you fall into that category. So kencreativearts.co.uk is the website, and you'll find all of the information on there. But you have to be quick. It's on the 20th of April.
Fantastic. Thank you.
It's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to play a bit of music.
Cheesy tunage.
Yeah, we're going to play some tunage. It's not that cheesy. Well, it is incredibly cheesy, but never mind. and then when we come back, we're going to talk to one of our guests.
Brilliant.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, on Thursday, 31st of May. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for their events. Whether you are organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts and a series of masterclasses including team building, well-being and much more. To find out more and to book your free place, visit www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 17th of April with me, Paul Andrews, and Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Delighted because GDPR, I think we've kind of reached the crest, haven't we?
No. GDPR has got to swing its nuts and bolts at us yet, I promise you.
You've lost me.
Many people have just learned to spell GDPR.
I was hoping that we'd reached the pinnacle of the GDPR noise, for want of a better word.
Oh, I see. Was this something you were talking about off air downstairs?
No, not at all. It's just I was trying to lead into a GDPR coffee morning that's happening on the tail end of the crest of the GDPR.
Where's this GDPR? Well, it's not at the South Foreland at Lots Tea Room, by any chance, is it? Oh, okay.
That's all right. Then. Place to do it.
Yeah.
But actually, it's with our good friends, S&S Solicitors.
Oh, okay.
In Maidstone. So yep. John, Gareth, Danielle, and Richard. And actually, I think they've got a new person joined them.
Catherine still there?
Catherine's gone off to Sainsbury's.
Really? Well, she's gone shopping?
Yeah, it's a long shopping trip. She comes back at weekends. Okay. But anyway, we digress. There is a GDPR-themed coffee morning being held at the offices of S&S Solicitors on the morning of the 26th of April. And what they're doing, which I think is really nice of them, is they're offering you the opportunity to have a one-to-one with one of their specialist legal team, one of the guys that I've just mentioned, to actually understand a little bit about what you need to do to be compliant in your business. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity to go networking because they always have a full house there. So you'll meet lots of great businesses. But actually, if you really want to get to grips with what you need to do in your business because you haven't done it yet, it's a great opportunity to get some free advice as well. So that's 26th of April. You'll find all of the details for that, again, on the community section of Supply My Business.
Fantastic. I've got a tweet here from the EBS Butler School. And they've got they're asking for a Business Bunker shout-out for an extraordinary opportunity for those that work in the hospitality field to be a butler on a yacht, would you believe? Ooh. So do check that out. It looks absolutely fabulous. It's EBS_Butler School is their Twitter handle.
That's a tough life.
Yeah.
Very demanding yacht owners, very demanding.
Could I make a response on the GDPR
point? Yes, please do.
For people who can't get along to the S&S event, go to the Information Commissioner's Office, ICO, website, and the Information Commissioner, who is the regulator, has set out a series of pamphlets there that are easy to read, easy to understand, and particularly of use for small businesses who may not be able to afford the legal advice that they really need for this process.
Really, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we were at the Kent Business Show with Best Business Events a couple of weeks ago, and David Shaw from BCS, Business Computer Solutions, was talking, and he was saying he's got a workshop for GDPR 2 days before GDPR kicks in, and he's saying it's fully booked.
Yeah, right.
But of course,
panic.
What are you going to do in those 2 days to be compliant?
And that's what I was alluding to a couple of minutes ago.
So you're right. The Information Commissioner's Office, they're also, funnily enough, the people that will prosecute you if you're not compliant, have made quite a lot of information available on their website.
I think the interesting thing for me about this is that you're talking about reaching the peak. I think have a look at how many people want to book on a workshop the day after.
Okay.
There's money to be made there, folks.
Yeah, there's still people trying to do auto-enrolment at the moment.
It's got to be the biggest money spinner since Bitcoin, I think, hasn't it? The GDPR.
Here's a bandwagon. I tell you what.
I was asked a short while ago when I introduced the topic of GDPR at a seminar, how do you spell that?
Well, bless him. The chap that runs Dragon Co-working, Roland calls it GDRP.
All right.
Whenever he stands up and does a 60-second.
Hey, why not?
He's going to thank you for that one, Martin.
He won't be listening.
Anyway.
We love you, Roland.
How do you know? I want to talk to our first guest.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to... Well, you've been on before. I know you have, David.
Yes,
a long
indeed.
Time ago, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, welcome back. Thank you.
No, it's an absolute pleasure to see you. I think I'm right in saying is when you were last on, we were still somewhere on the marsh. Broadcasting.
Yeah, you told me to bring wellies and an umbrella.
Exactly, and it was in August, wasn't it?
That's right.
And a pair of shears for the llamas.
Alpaca shearing. Alpacas, get
always
it right.
Getting muddled up.
Anyway, David DeCaro, welcome back. Toastmaster Dave.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
It's lovely to see you. I want to kick off by asking you, we're on the radio, so you can't see, but we will publish some pictures. David is attired in his official professional regalia. No, honestly, he is. Yeah.
Look, all you need to know, folks, is I look posh.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to start off by trying to broaden out the understanding of the role of a Toastmaster and Master of Ceremonies, because a lot of people will only see someone like yourself at a wedding or something like that, you know, getting people to go and eat their dinner. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Can you just give us an overview of the range of things that you do as a Toastmaster?
Sure, but I think it's worth picking up on a phrase you just used, Toastmaster and Master of Ceremonies. Maybe a way of clarifying this in people's minds is if you think of the catch-all as being a Master of Ceremonies, and then beneath that, you've got various kinds of roles. A toastmaster, a compere, a host, facilitator. All of those words relate to some kind of master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
So a toastmaster is a peculiarly British role. It's nothing to do with the speaking club called Toastmasters International. It's a professional role. Most commonly, we're dressed in the bright scarlet jacket that I'm wearing now, but I also have a burgundy jacket, which I can wear. And I've conducted things dressed in other clothing also.
I bet you have.
Any Star Wars listening, I am available for a Star Wars wedding. And yes, just...
You haven't got a Chewbacca outfit, have you?
Yes.
That must be hot, Dave, in the summer.
I tell you what, I turn up in my former martial arts clothing and sword at my side. So, Paul, you mentioned weddings.
Yeah.
Yes, that's probably the obvious one. But let's take weddings. Let's take award ceremonies, corporate award ceremonies.
Yep.
Let's take gala dinners, social dinners that people are wanting to put on. And those could be for charity. They could be corporate dinners as well. We can also take Masonic Ladies Festivals, where a Toastmaster is often used. We can also take charity auctions. I recently did I was a charity auctioneer and Toastmaster at a Valentine's ball.
Wow.
Where the whole evening, it was held at the wonderful Westernhanger Castle, and the whole evening was actually in aid of raising money for a particular cancer charity.
Right.
So there are a multitude of roles, but then we can step outside of those roles where you might expect to see somebody in the Toastmaster uniform and go to some of the corporate events where, in fact, they want somebody to anchor the day. Somebody who they want to facilitate. Paul, you know a lot about this one. This is an area that's home ground for yourself as well. I've got a couple that I'm in discussion with where actually they want me to do that kind of a role, but dressed as a Toastmaster. So it's a wide range.
Now, it's interesting, isn't it? And this whole thing about speaking in public, and not to confuse it with Toastmasters International, but of course, a large part of what you're doing is public speaking and talking to large numbers of people. And it's one of those things, especially in the UK, I find, that people are very wary of. Lots of business people are very wary of speaking in public, frightened by it, don't like the thought of it. But it is a skill and it is a talent. And someone like yourself that's able to facilitate events of one kind or another makes it a lot easier. What I'm interested in exploring is you're qualified as a Toastmaster. What does that entail? If somebody said, cool, you know, I fancy getting myself a scarlet coat like that and telling people to do stuff, how do you go about, how do you start? Where do you go?
Well, here's an absolute irony. As with a lot of profession, there's an awful lot of rubbish spoken about what needs to be done. So let's be very clear. There is no standard qualification for becoming a Toastmaster, for fulfilling this role. I believe there are something like 30-odd associations of Toastmasters in this country.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, there are an awful lot of them.
Right.
And many of them will run training programs and give you a certificate, and by virtue of being a member of that association, you will wear, it's usually a blue ribbon with some kind of little dongle hanging off identifies you as a member of this, that, or the other. It's not essential. It's not a requirement to belong. But when you want, if you want to be a Toastmaster, you've got to take across with you a toolbox.
Yep.
And some people think, I've got a parade ground voice, and I've done that sort of thing before. I'd make a good Toastmaster. Think of the word empathy, and think of how much empathy a drill sergeant from the parade ground is actually going to bring along as well.
You horrible little man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get in at your dinner, you horrible little woman.
You have to deal with a lot of mother-in-laws, don't you?
Well, do you know what? Well, it's amazing.
That never worked with him.
The first ever wedding that I did at one particular venue, I was trying to move people out of the ceremony room down towards the receiving line where the bride and groom were waiting for one. There was a group that would not leave the ceremony room. They were about 20 feet away from me. They weren't ignoring me. They were just having a great time. It's a lovely atmosphere. So I called out, ladies and gentlemen, ladies. And I suddenly became aware of this little lady standing beside me, and she elbowed me in the ribs. You're going to have to tell them to shut up. Yeah, okay, yes, of course, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I got another elbow in the ribs. You're going to have to tell them to shut up. And I became aware that this was the most powerful woman on the planet, a.k.a. the mother-in-law. All right? This was the mother of the bride. So I thought, do you know what? So my next opening was, oi, you lot, shut up a minute. And they did. And they turned round and listened to me and, would you like to follow me through to the receiving line to meet the bride and groom? And do you know what? It was absolutely fantastic because I got an awful lot of banter,
right.
Most of it unprintable during the course of the rest of the afternoon, led to a fabulous atmosphere.
Right.
But we've got direct experience of having worked with Dave, not at a wedding, obviously.
When we got married, you mean?
Yeah, well, no. Yeah. Maybe at yours at some point in the future. But when we launched our, we did our first Supply My Business networking event at Discovery Park.
At Discovery Park in Sandwich, we very much did.
And Dave was on hand all 3 in the morning to help facilitate that.
He was.
The value for me, you know, as effectively the host of that event, was in making sure that, you know, everything happened. We included everything that needed to happen, but Dave kept it all running.
Absolutely.
So I didn't have to worry about time or where coffee was or when we were going to break. Dave had the agenda, and he facilitated the whole morning.
One of the brilliant things of that kind of facilitation is that I go to so many events. I go to hundreds and hundreds of events a year, and I speak at loads of events and all the rest of it. And the vast majority of them that don't have a facility like that suffer from poor timing, people not being where they're supposed to be, especially if there's lots of different things going on. And the whole day can break down very quickly because nobody's in control of the proceedings that are going on. So having someone like Dave there is absolutely brilliant because it just keeps it on track.
Well, also, there's another thing that when we talk about corporate events that people don't quite get is that when you are going to speak, if you're a speaker at an event, you do not introduce yourself.
Yeah.
You do not stand up and start talking. I was at an event, it's a few years ago now, where, let's put it this way, one person in the audience had the title HRH. And one of the key people from this particular organisation, who was a dame of the realm, went up to the podium. She was, I don't know, she was a paragraph into her speech before anybody realised that she was talking. And you wanted to scream out and say, stop, let's call the room to order, let's introduce you, let's bring some impact to your presence on the stage, make everybody shut up whilst you speak.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that when we're acting as a facilitator at an event, it's one of the things that we can do. Yeah. And you touched on the other big thing, which is actually getting people in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And isn't it annoying, you know, when we're all busy people. So, you know, let's say you go to a networking event and it overruns.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody's got their eye on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's actually making sure that, you know, things happen and finish on time.
Exactly.
And so people actually resent being kept there beyond their will, you know, beyond 12 o'clock or whatever it is.
See, here's the thing. And when you've got an event like that, the person who's taking the master of ceremonies room role, the toastmaster, the host, the compere, that person has got ownership of the running order.
Yeah.
The idea is, quite frankly, you leave your watches off, I'm the one that's got a watch.
Exactly, yeah.
So when we run our event in June, which we're doing with Barry and Jay and the team from Jarman's and Metro Bank up at Dartford Football Club, Dave's going to be on hand again, just to make sure. Even though it's an after-hours event and it's a little bit more informal, you know, I think certain things have got to happen on the evening.
Yeah, no, I go to so many events and I find it so frustrating where you can see at the start of the day, this is all going to end in tears because nobody's in control of the timing of any of this and nobody knows where they're going and nobody's telling anybody what's happening. And I normally clobber, most of the time I chair the events, yeah. So people come up to me and go, well, when's this and when's that? Well, I don't know. It's not my event. I'm just, you know, chairing it. We need someone to manage the running order. Now, as a chair, I try to do that. But you can't be in every place at once.
Paul, I'm so pleased you've raised this because a lot of people think that the chair is the master of ceremonies. Yeah. It's not always the case.
Yeah.
I've done corporate events where they've actually had somebody in to run the awards ceremony, but they need somebody else to manage the room, to manage the timing.
Yeah. Well, the event at Canterbury a couple of weeks ago was a great example, wasn't it? You know, Carol and Penny had the good sense to bring Dave back into that to make sure that, you know, all the announcements that needed to happen, you know, for all the exhibitors and all the different things that were going on, people actually, oh, that's happening now, I need to get onto that.
Yeah.
Because Dave was announcing it.
Absolutely, and it facilitates the event, not just from a smooth running point of view, but from an interactive point of view as well. Yeah. Because people know that what's going on, they feel more comfortable, you know, something like that where you had exhibitors that are paid to be there, having someone like Dave direct people to them makes a big difference.
Well, it was also that particular show. It's also nice to be able to say to an exhibitor, look, what's going on your stand that I can announce that will bring people over?
Yeah.
And that's the difference with someone like Dave who's proactive rather than, you know, he's getting paid up to do, you know, paid to turn up at an event to do X, Y, and Z.
And tell his joke.
Come on, then. Let's.
I don't have a joke.
Oh, you don't have one.
Paul, once again, brilliant point. A joke. I am not the act.
Yeah, exactly.
Fundamental thing, fundamental lesson. We're talking about qualifications for a Toastmaster. A Toastmaster needs to know we are not the act. We are the introducers of the act. We are the link between the acts, but we ourselves are not the act.
Absolutely.
Bring a light touch. Bring a light comment in, but we're not there to be cutting the jokes, raising the belly laugh.
Cool. So, how long have you been doing this?
Ooh. being paid, and my first ever event was for Canterbury City Council, I think about 4 years ago.
Okay. Right.
And that was actually hosting a business event when a coachload of French business owners came over to this country to meet Kent business owners, and they needed somebody to facilitate the day, and I was brought in to do that.
Was that your Mange 2 skills?
That was my who skills? What?
Mange 2.
Mon ami.
Yeah, mon ami.
But prior to that, I ran my first ever meeting way back in student union days when I was chairman of the students' union.
Okay.
Back at college. Mm. So I've been doing that kind of thing for a very long time.
Right, okay. Cool. So from your point of view, what are the range of things that you as a business, if you see what I mean, that you're interested in doing?
As a business, I'm interested in doing more corporate work. I'm interested in doing more awards ceremonies. And meeting facilitation, when you've got a bunch of speakers that are coming together to actually talk on a particular subject area. I mean, I have one or two of these coming up soon, but I come from the world of business. I'm a business coach and trainer, as well as being a Toastmaster. Yep. And I have an interest in these affairs as well. So I can bring to something like a corporate event of that sort, bring business knowledge and business skills as well. Mm. Weddings. The other events that I've described, love doing them. Yeah. How often is it that you go out to work, go out to do something where you know that everybody's objective is to have a nice time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, None of us have any time to enjoy ourselves anymore. So when we do, we want to make sure we have a good time, don't we?
That's it.
For me, a big part of what Dave does also is you know, the uniform brings a certain gravitas.
I was going to ask about that. Actually, are you ever asked to do things without the gear?
Yes.
If you see what I mean.
Yes. Yes. So the Toastmaster's jacket is a call to attention.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this colour. It can be any colour. Mm. As a Toastmaster, I have done a wedding. It was a Star Wars wedding. And I did wear my kendo uniform. I used to be a kendo swordsman. So I wear my kendo clothing. The uniform is a call to attention. Mm. But it doesn't. But if we're running a corporate event that's a more of a business meeting, then I would be in a suit and tie,
right?
Or okay. You know, business casual.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. But as you say, everybody knows your role just by seeing you before you even open your mouth.
Everybody knows that they've got to shut up and listen.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the hump master, isn't it?
You know?
I mean, that's you know, he wears a red jacket.
He's on his hat trick thing now, isn't he?
He's at the posh end of the spectrum.
Yeah, no, he's trying to get the gig for hat trick to swap with a pleb that doesn't know what was it?
A hump master.
Hump master who doesn't know what a hump master is. Yeah, whatever that is.
Hunt, not hump.
Oh, I thought you said hump. Hump master. Right, okay.
Here we go, guys. The other thing that we do as Toastmasters is facilitate communication.
Okay, tell him to shut up, though.
Which, yeah, for people that haven't actually completed their education, is no small feat.
Cool. So, if people want to find out more about the work you do, how they can engage you, how they can get involved, how they can hire you, should they want to, how can they do that?
Please visit my website, 3Ws, Toastmaster David Dicara. You can find me on Facebook, Toastmaster David Dicara. Twitter, @ Toastmaster Dave. I was really annoyed I couldn't get the Twitter.
You couldn't get around.
That really annoyed me. There we go. Or pick up the phone and give me a call. Talk to me. 07764-897739.
Fantastic.
Love to hear from you.
Fantastic, David. Thank you so much. The website link for Toastmaster David Dicara is actually on the Kent Business Radio website and will stay there forever. So if you are listening to this at any point in the future and you want to know, the link is there. Just click on the link and you will go through to David's website. Dave, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you as always. And thank you for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Love to.
But for the moment, Mr. David Dicara, Toastmaster extraordinaire. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dave. Brilliant.
Cool. We've still got tweets coming in. We've still got loads of emails. There's loads of things to talk about. I've got an email here, which is an offer. It's a special offer for Business Bunker listeners. And I'm going to read this out now. It says, "Hi, Paul. Hope you're well. As you know, our big event is happening this Friday, the 20th of April, at the Solomon's Estate in Tunbridge Wells. We would like to offer 10 complimentary tickets to the first 10 listeners who email us directly at wwinquiries @gmail.com. I'll tell you that email address again in a minute. We have 50 inspirational speakers. UK Health Radio, Global Women and Success Resources will be there too. Success Resources will be promoting the Power of Momentum program. That's cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, which is being held in London on Monday the 23rd of April. They are also promoters for Tony Robbins. Our event is aimed at women in business, in the workplace, at home, women returning to work after a leave of absence, women who have never worked, women who want greater confidence and self-belief. Every speaker will be sharing walkaway tips and strategies to create a better and brighter future for yourself, your business, your family, your community. I, as founder, am also talking in this section. I will be offering tips on how you can gain greater self-belief and confidence and how to stop those limiting beliefs. And this is from the lovely Ania Jeffries. And Ania is offering 10 tickets to the first 10 people to email and ask for a complimentary ticket to the Women Work events, which is this Friday at the Solomon's Estate, Tunbridge Wells. And the doors open at 8:30 and the first speaker is on at 9:30. The website, should you wish to look at more of it and find out who the 50 speakers are, is womenworkevents.com, or you can email, once again, the email address is www.inquiries@gmail.com. So grab yourself a free ticket, drop them an email. Brilliant. That's from Ania Jeffries. Thank you, Ania.
There's a lot of collaboration going on at the moment, isn't there, between businesses, which I always love to see. And actually, Barry Jarman's are at the centre of this next collaboration that I'm going to read out.
All right.
It's Thursday the 26th of April, 2 till 4:30 at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. And this is Jarman's, Sleeping Giant Media, and also Francois from Acacia.
Yeah, Francois Ranier.
Yeah. And they're doing a seminar on the importance of building a strong brand in the marketplace, digital marketing, and how to market your business online. And also, crucially, getting the right business legal support at each stage of your business growth.
Indeed. Jay's leading that, I think.
Yeah, which is going to be a fantastic session. So it's quite focused. It's 2 to 4:30. It's at the Business Terrace in Maidstone on Thursday the 26th of April. There is an Eventbrite booking page for it, but it's quite long-winded. It's published in Supply My Business in the community section. Have a look in there, and the booking link is on there as well. But that'll be a good one.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
Francois was on the show, wasn't he?
He was, about 2 months ago.
And in fact, I went to his seminar about exporting to France, which I thought was very interesting as well.
So. Absolutely. I think there's going to be some news coming along fairly soon about doing more international business, so we'll keep you posted as that breaks. But it's something that we all need to think about. I want to tell you about this very quickly before we break for the half point of the show. With £13 billion of edible food being chucked away, a new company called Nifty's, Kent, they're the first surplus supermarket to be set up by a couple, Nathaniel and Bethany Richards, who themselves relied on food banks in the past, decided enough is enough, and have set out to tackle the problem. They've been nominated to win £1.5 million worth of funding from the Virgin Voom Business Awards for Social Impact, but need the help of the public to vote for them. This has the potential to be a great game changer, and my wife and I helped nearly 50,000 people, including those affected at the Grenfell tragedy, already with food. If we win this award, we could help millions for many, many years to come, said Nathaniel, who is the founder of Nifty's. If we win, we could open 20 to 30 shops up and down Kent and the rest of the UK. We could finally make a sizable dent into the massive problem affecting millions of people. The latest report from RAP puts commercial food waste at an eye-watering 10 million tonnes, and at the same time, the Trussell Trust released figures that suggest 1.18 million people use emergency food parcels to survive, with some reports suggesting full-time workers and zero-hour works make up the majority of this. This is where Nifty's comes into play. Many people are either too proud or not eligible for the food bank, but find themselves struggling to make ends meet. And at the same time, we can buy wonky veg, damaged, short-dated and out-of-date goods at rock-bottom prices and pass this on at an incredible discount with goods as low as 1p. Nathaniel and Bethany started this project in their front room in May 2016 and have always had to prioritise essentials due to budget limitations, but says if we win this with the generous support from the public, we could increase our stock range by tenfold, acquire a van and increase our contribution to charities significantly to ensure everyone in communities benefits from this. To show our gratitude, we're giving away a multitude of prizes ranging from £100 cash to champagne and perfume, so please get everyone to vote. This could genuinely improve the lives of lots of people. To vote, go to votefornifties.weebly.com. Votefornifties, N-I-F-T-I-E-S, .weebly.com. The competition is a public vote and closes on the 15th of May. If you want more information about the draw or what they do or about Nifties, you can email them at admin@don'twastethetaste.co.uk.
Brilliant. Fantastic. What a great initiative.
Yeah, they've actually got an online shop. I was looking at the website. They've got an online shop where you can purchase stuff for really, 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 really cheap prices. You know, like a penny, 20p, 30p, 40p, stuff like that. And there's a whole lot of information on there about, you know, short dated food and all the rest of it. So check that out. But do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to join the newsroom. That's what we're going to do now. And we'll be back for the second half of the show shortly.